Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hello?
Is anyone here?
Nope. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
How are you?
Hi, guys.
Now that everybody's here, today we wanted to get a little deeper.
Serious.
A little more serious. We realize our past couple ones have been pretty laxed. And sorry, I'm like moving around hella shit.
We want to show that we have multiple facades.
Well, you guys know we do. Like, we definitely hit you with some like deep shit the first couple episodes. And then now, and then like we figured like, okay, we don't want to like fully brand ourselves as like this serious thing, and then the world started getting even more serious than it usually is, and then we were like, okay, let's try to be like a relief for people, but now kind of bringing it back, and I'm sure we'll go back to the,
you know, do it all.
I don't know. Yeah, aren't we all? So we wanted to get a little more serious this week, so here goes nothing. But before that, we have a few updates. We have a few lighthearted things that happened on Alex's dating app. I don't, which one was it?
Was it Hinge? So someone liked me on Hinge. And he wasn't someone that I would have like normally, because on Hinge you have to like accept people who like an image on your profile, and he wouldn't have been someone that I would have accepted.
Mm-hmm.
But
like, he just like wasn't your type,
right?
Or anything.
Just yeah. One of his prompts was, he goes, "Let's debate this topic. Zucchini is by far the best vegetable. Prove me wrong." Okay, when I saw this, at first I was like, weird. But then I really started to think about it. Zucchini is quite possibly the worst vegetable on the face of the earth.
The worst. And this, so this all happened when Alex and I were in a, 6-hour road trip. And we spent a good 45 minutes genuinely trying to side with this guy. Like, how?
Like, what?
That vegetable has no business. It can't stand alone. It's always paired with something. Every other vegetable, you can have it alone, and it serves purpose.
It's, the texture's not there.
No. Unless
the
it's done
flavor
perfectly.
Flavor is just too bland.
Mushy. I said the perfect analogy for the taste/smell of zucchini is what your dirty fridge smells like when you haven't cleaned it in like a month. Just a
you can't pinpoint
of
it.
Just different kind of gross foods. Not moldy foods, because you know, I'm hoping you're not letting things
it's
mold.
It's just like, oh, there's too much mix going on.
Yes, and it's a little past due. Yep. Just a little.
So I was intrigued, and I said, I accepted him, and I said, okay, please elaborate. What about the zucchini makes it the best veg by far? I'm actually confused and bothered a little bit by this claim. And he said, sorry to trigger you. Honestly, it's been a couple months since I made this profile, and I might have transitioned to Brussels sprouts being my fave, which I could get behind.
100%.
But I like zucchini because it's easy and you can flavor it many ways. I haven't responded yet just because I need to gather my thoughts, but
I need to sleep on this one.
Actually.
No, it was just like a funny thing for him to feel so boldly about.
Like, it made me start to think, like, are there zucchini people out there?
Please let us know if you're a zucchini stan. Because we want to.
We want to hear the side, your side of it.
Why?
I want to know more than just the reasons that this guy gave me.
Yes. Hmm. You know what? Maybe this week. I'll make some zucchini. I'll throw it in a dish.
Okay.
And we'll come back to you guys. We'll do it before Thursday.
Okay.
We have to do it before Thursday and we'll let you guys know.
We'll try and bring it justice too. We'll do what we can.
We'll do what we can for you and you.
You and you only.
You and you only.
I think we're Dunkin' people.
Oh yeah, that too. God, a lot's changed. Hi guys. How was your summer? This morning I looked at Alex. I was like, should we go to Dunkin'? I don't even know why I thought that, because it's not like I was on my phone and saw anything. Like, it randomly was just like, yeah. I want coffee and
America runs on Dunkin'.
America runs on Dunkin'. We're in America.
Right.
We need to run. We should go to Dunkin'.
We need energy.
This sounds like a Dunkin'. No, 100% not. So we went to Dunkin' Donuts today.
I wasn't totally impressed because I think I just ordered the wrong. You know when you're like all flustered and you're somewhere new and you don't know what to order. So you kind of just like.
She ordered the thing that was like 5 feet tall on the glass window.
Yeah.
You did. It was like new. And you're like, okay, sure.
Literally. Exactly
she,
what happened.
She had her full order before we were like up to the window. And she's like, wait, that? And I was like, do you want it? And she's like. Yeah. I was like, okay. What was it? An oat milk chai latte?
Yeah. Which sounds good, like on paper.
Sure.
But first of all, it was huge.
Oh, yeah. That was exactly what I was about to say. So Alex got a large thinking, okay, like venti. A venti. No. Homie gave us a fucking big gulp. Yeah. That had to have been 45 ounces. It was huge.
Yeah.
And guaranteed. I got a medium.
I still have more than half in the fridge.
Yeah. I got a medium and that was the size of a venti. 4 ounces more, actually. I think right. A venti is 20 ounces.
I don't know.
And this was 24 ounces. Regardless, crazy sizes.
Too big. It was just too milky. I don't know. I wasn't completely impressed.
Mine was good, though.
Yeah, yours was really good.
I got an iced cappuccino, an iced oat milk cappuccino unsweetened. Fire.
And then we got the little donut hole things.
Those were, I'm not a big donut person, so like, sure. Okay.
The original was better than the chocolate. I'll say that.
Yeah. I don't know. We just felt like we had to get them. I don't even think either of us wanted them. No. We were like, we're here. We have to.
We needed some kind of food item.
Yeah.
And we weren't going to go all sandwiched out.
No.
We did take an extra few minutes to find the closest drive-through because there was no way we're going to get out.
Mm-mm. No way. My hair was so greasy this morning. So I've been having really dry skin. I don't know what it is, you guys. Like,
I think it's the laundry detergent.
Yeah, we did. Wait, actually, yeah. So maybe I do know what it is. We did come to the conclusion that it was my laundry detergent because I switched to Tide for the first time since I was a child when my mom used Tide. For the past, like, I'd say like 5 or 6 years of my life, I use, is it Method or something? It's just like a natural one, though. For sensitive skin. And then I switched one day because it was just like a really good smell. The Tide was. And ever since I've had this like scaly dry skin, like kind of like a mild psoriasis looking in a way.
It's like leathery.
Super weird. So the reason my hair was greasy this morning is because I sat on the couch. I wish we could post the picture. Alex got a really funny picture, but it would literally, it's nude. I was sitting on the couch just lathering myself in coconut oil because I was
whole body. I contributed.
Yeah, she did. She got her back. She got me back. Both literally and figuratively. But I was just lathering myself because it got to the point where even if I moved an inch, it felt like my skin had to like re-crack and adjust to the new position I was in. And it was so itchy and irritating. I feel a lot better today. I think my whole soaking of coconut oil really helped because I did it right before bed. So I slept with it. But then I had residual coconut oil on my hands, so I put it in my hair.
Oh.
Yeah. It didn't do anything really, but I just greasy. Didn't want to waste it. Yeah, my hair looked like a scraggly rat. It was gross.
Ratatouille.
So that was our morning. Thanksgiving was a few days ago. That's in the past now. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. I didn't have turkey though, which was a first in my life. I had ham as the primary meat.
This was my first Thanksgiving with turkey.
And it's overrated, isn't it?
Totally.
Yep. Turkey's super overrated. It's tends to be dry unless you do it absolutely perfectly. You definitely need the crutch of the cranberry, the mashed potatoes, the gravy too.
I'm definitely there for the sides.
I think we can all agree that the sides are better. But the turkey gets so much attention.
Mm-hmm. But you can never underestimate a really good ham on the table.
And that's what we had.
That's the best.
It was like maple cinnamon glazed.
Ooh.
But it still was super
honey
salty.
Baked hams.
It was so good. And with mustard seeds.
Ooh.
Mm, so good. So yeah, happy belated Thanksgiving. It's damn near December. I guess you're listening to this on the 30th, the last day of November. Can you guys believe there's less than fucking 30 something days in 2020? I don't feel like I've done anything. I take that back. We started this podcast. We started a podcast.
Oh. She just walks her way in here.
How did Link just open the door? You heard me lock it.
No.
Yes, I did. Because I remember thinking like, oh, Leanna's downstairs.
You went back down to get the thing.
Oh, you're right. Okay, never mind. Oh, yeah. There's a dead bee in my room. I don't know why, guys. Dead bees are kind of following me. I found one in my car, too. Okay. Yeah, 2020. Weird. It's ending soon. December 1st is coming. Last month of 2020. I'm doing Vlogmas. I'm really excited. I am like so excited. You have no idea. What else?
I think what's scary is people are like, okay, 2020 needs to end. And it's like 2021's going to hit. And you guys, it's going to be the same.
It's going to be the same. People think it's going to, like New Year's, something's going to change and we're just all going to go back to normal. No, this is reality now. I'm sorry if this is like really fucking negative, but I do like it. I hear you.
We got to be realistic. And yes. I mean, we can always hope for a better year ahead, but it's kind of, we got to understand that things don't just change January 1st, 2021.
No, these are bigger world things now. I also do understand the motivation of that kind of mindset change you get the second New Year's hits. I mean, so many people get active. So many people cut out. You know, an alcohol or certain food, like it is this motivation.
New year, new me.
Right. I get it. And I'm like that too. I know I'll probably start working out every day, you know,
some kind of resolution.
I think that's very healthy to have. I think it's great to set those goals and those ultimatums for yourself. But yeah, weird. And New Year's is going to be so different too. I mean, New Year's it's the biggest party
of
the year.
Such a big celebration.
Even like think of musicians. They have all these crazy midnight drop, like I don't know, it's gonna be super different, but
we're inching closer. We'll see how it turns out
for sure.
Song of the day,
what's up?
I'm gonna do Body by Loud Luxury.
That's a great song.
Oh, it's so fun to just fucking bang it in the car.
It's like an older song, but it randomly came on me and Alex's Horizon. It was like on our way to her birthday. And was it on a playlist or we like, no. We, the day before we left for your birthday, we were watching Love Island.
Oh yeah.
Like and an old season of Love Island.
And let me say Love Island, their
soundtrack.
Yeah. Like their soundtrack is always fire. Yeah,
like the little snippets of songs they play in between scenes. They're always really, really good songs.
And this started playing and it was like shit. We forgot about this one.
This song. And now since that, like rediscovery of the song, it's become our hype song. Like whenever we're just like, it's usually the first song we put in the car, if we're in the car together or
ready to go.
If we're getting ready or whatever, it's definitely like our hype song. It's a good song. Go listen to it. We have a playlist too on Spotify and Apple Music. I'm sorry, I say this every episode. I'm just hoping there's new people listening. So this is their first time hearing it, but I am a broken record. My song is Another One by Sam Smith. Hey guys, before we start this week's topic, I did want to announce a quick trigger warning. We do talk about bullying and we do touch on suicide. If you do decide to listen further, we hope that this episode can help even one of you guys. This is honestly one of our favorite episodes as far as like how deep we go. It was very therapeutic for us, so we hope you guys enjoy. Okay, let's get into this. Today we want to talk about a topic that has been part of humanity since day one. In so many different forms.
It's ever-changing.
Ever-changing and affects everybody on the planet, no matter who you are or anything. Bullying. Bullying, it seems like a kind of a no-brainer topic. And that's why we're like, why aren't we talking about this? We've been bullied. We've seen people bully people. And something we can kind of stand for as 20-something-year-olds now is, you know, we're starting to get our motherly instinct and we see people younger. A lot of you guys that are younger than us. I mean, I've even seen DMs of people like bullying each other. I'm like, I've been bullied online. Like bullying still happens. And now that I'm older, I'm like, I need to do what I can to stop this.
Yeah.
I used to think, oh, you know, it's just life, which sure, I guess in a way it kind of is. But now I'm like, no, this needs to change. Like, and I'm not going to do it single-handedly, but I'm going to do my part to the people listening right now. So where should we start with this?
So I went home for Thanksgiving and I saw my little cousin, and she's a freshman in high school, the ripe age of
just everything.
Yeah. Just of everything. And kind of, you're a sponge. So I was trying to drill in her head, like, look, you could be the bigger person. And I kind of just had like the talk with her, and I noticed that her and all of her friends, they all dress the same and they're all the same. It's things are getting so clicky. It like more clicky than it was when we were even in middle school and high school because of social media, I think. Mm-hmm. And I kind of sat her down and I was like, I want you to know it's okay. And it's super cool to have friends that are different than the people that you are around every day. And even if someone dresses differently or listens to different music, embrace that and befriend that person, even if your closest friends don't find it
cool
or it's not a part of your clique or your mm-hmm. whatever you listen to every day. And I kind of just I hope that she just took that like little slice that I gave her and is kind of thinking about that going into the biggest years of her life right now. So that's kind of where we talked about this at all. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, whether she's thinking about it right now or not, I think you being her big cuz, it's going to pop in her head later in life. There's so many things that, my elders have told me throughout my childhood that I'm only starting to apply now because now I understand it.
Yeah.
So it even if she doesn't act on it, it didn't go unheard. It still went through one ear.
Right.
And I don't always believe in the through one ear out the other. Mm-mm. I think, you know, that's kind of impossible. Your brain
remembers everything.
Yes. And so does your body and everything. So, I thought this was a really cool thing to start on. And I'm going to say this before I forget. When you said like how you were telling her just because they look different, whatever, still talk to them. I just want to stress that because like at that age, that is so weird when people look different. But now as an adult, as somebody who is working every day to develop stand into out. My person yeah. And to understand life and understand my purpose. Now I like when people are different because I'm like, ooh, what can I learn from you?
Yep.
And what can I give you back? How can we develop our characters together? If you just stand in one lane and try to achieve like one aesthetic your whole life, there's going to be a time where you achieve it. And then what? Then what?
There's
you just
no want to
stop there. You always just want to be that person. There's no, that's boring.
Yeah.
I want to be we'll take it to high school terms. I want to be the prom queen. This is super corny, but just feel me. I want to be the prom queen and I want to go to this school. And you just like stomp on everybody in the way to get there. And then you get there and you're happy for a sec. And then you graduate. And then
you have nothing else.
And then you have nothing else. Like talking Whereas, to the youth right now, like these are your times to
absorb everything around you and so befriend that person who's yes. into something so different.
Because then you're going to have so many more tools in your belt.
And you're going to give them something else that they would have never gotten if you weren't their friend.
Right. Yeah. I feel like I'm going to preface too. I think a lot of the analogies I'm going to give throughout this episode might sound selfish because I keep saying like, you're going to get so much from them. It all goes the other way.
Yeah.
I mean,
the door swings both ways.
Exactly. Life is a circle.
Yeah.
Like it all goes both ways. So don't think I'm only speaking selfishly here. Another thing too, is like, you never know who that person is going to be later in your life. That's a big thing. Mm-hmm. Like you might think, oh, they're not in my clique. They're not in my friend group. I never have to deal with them again. No, they're in your, what is it? There's like 6 points of knowing somebody. I thought it was six. I don't know why. But y'all already have more than one. Mm-hmm. You're in the same hometown. You're in the same school. Like there's a chance that, you know, what if you like, okay, we'll look at the Bay Area, for example. We grew up in the East Bay. A lot of our friends now work in the city. Now those people are all in the city with you. What if one of them becomes
your boss one day?
And they're like, no, fuck this person. I know they're a bad person. And you know, what would suck is for you to put that taste in their mouth as a kid, and you might not be that person anymore, but you traumatize them so bad by bullying
them.
Every
interaction has a lasting impact.
Yes.
And you kind of have to walk through life knowing that.
Yes. I've seen this meme. It was not even a meme, just like a tweet. So I don't know, some shit that was like, isn't it so weird to think that like everybody you've crossed paths with have a different first impression of you, and wherever you were at in your life at that point, that's the highest degree they know you.
Yeah.
So it's crazy to think like when I was like a few years ago, when I was like the most depressed I'd ever been in my life, anybody I met in that time, they just think that's who I am. And in a way, you know, my control issues are like, I don't like that. I need to fix that. But I'm also like, so what? It's not like I treated them bad. As long as they don't think I'm a bad person, like I didn't leave them with something terribly like nasty.
Right.
But like, I don't know. I don't know where I was going with that. I got distracted. The sky is really pretty right now, guys.
Whoa.
It's so pretty. I literally got distracted because the sky is blue. Can you think, it doesn't have to be your first time, but what was like one of your most traumatic bullying things that you are feeling comfortable talking about right now?
There was a period of time in high school. Someone would put, every day after school, someone would put a piece of gum like underneath my car door handle. So I would, and it got to the point where I knew it was every day. So I would like take my pencil and like flick it off. And it was so that I would stick my fucking fingers in their gum every time I opened my car door. And then it happened, I think, a couple times. Someone actually, I think it's from like a movie. Someone left a bag of dog shit on my front porch.
That's such a movie thing.
It's such a movie. And it's like, you think it's this like harmless, funny thing, like teepeeing or whatever, but mm-hmm. it's like, it's humiliating.
Yeah.
For like, my dad was like, Alex, there's dog shit on the door again.
You gotta go get it. Yep.
And to like walk that bag into the trash can mm-hmm. and like knowing someone did that to like me.
Intentionally.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's little things like that are lasting.
Yeah, it is. Do you know who did it?
Yes.
Yeah, it almost, sometimes it's almost worse when you know who it is.
Yeah.
You know, because then you're like,
how do you, like, what did I do to you? Person? Yeah.
What did I do to you?
Nothing.
But exactly.
It's always
them.
It's always their inner demons.
Yes.
Coming out in another form and reflecting it onto people who are vulnerable
mm-hmm.
and can't stand up for themselves and are easy targets.
Yep. And then sometimes it is just random people too.
Right.
Sometimes it's just randomly their server or randomly, you know, someone they're just crossing paths with.
And it's hard to not take things like that personal.
Of course. It's in front of your face. It's being done to you. That narrative sounds pretty personal.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we'll circle back to this point a lot in this episode and a lot in the rest of our lives. You have to remember. You have to remember. And it is 100% a fact when I tell you this, that it is only a reflection of the bullier.
Mm-hmm.
It is only a reflection of them. And I never believed that. You know, my parents always told me that when stuff was done to me too. And I was like, no, it's me. Oh my God. Because then you start feeling bad about yourself and then you start believing it.
Yeah.
It's like when these things are done to you, if with any might you have left in you of, because I know you'd be really discouraged afterwards. If there's any part of you that can still just be like, I literally didn't do anything to them. It has nothing to do with me. I promise that will save you your sanity.
It will.
Because these things are harmless. There are bullying that does get harmful, but talking about you right now, Alex.
Right.
Those things were harmless, sure. And that was their mindset behind it. Whether they knew they were doing it for internal reasons or not, they were still just like, oh, whatever, it's harmless. Those harmless things, and do you ever feel like, how do I word this? Like what? Where's the line of harmless pranks and bullying? What do you think that line is?
It's so hard. That's so hard.
It's the deeper intention, I guess. It's
And the victim.
Yeah. But like, okay, what if I did? God, I mean, I would never do that to you.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like a lot of these lasting memories that I have of being bullied were from people who I thought were my friends at the time.
Yes. So that, so it's like, it's so hard.
It, yeah. And it's like, do I have to sit myself down and say, am I being like, are they, am I being bullied right now? Or are my, my friends playing a joke on me, a prank?
Which you can kind of argue is a sense of bullying in a way too. But then, but my butt here is like, you and I have, when we were young, we've TP'd our friends as just a fun thing. And we didn't, we didn't think we loved these people that we were TPing and they would do it back. And like, there was still a sense of play there. Is that bullying? Like, I genuinely don't know the answer to this question.
Yeah, I don't know. I just remember, my differentiation between like the gum thing on my car. I remember thinking like, they're probably watching this from down the parking lot laughing at me right now, flicking. Like, this is a sense of humiliation in a public place. Am I fucking high school?
Right.
A sense of humiliation that they're benefiting from right now. Mm-hmm. I feel like when we would go out and like TP the guy we had a crush on, we would call him the next day and he would know it was us. And it was like something we all laughed. I don't know. Yes. But then am I sitting here like validating?
Yeah. Yes, I know. I don't know.
It's so hard.
It is hard. And if I could just think of an answer right now, and I'm sure it's, I'll think of more and we'll have a corrections corner on Thursday in addition to your guys' opinions.
Cause I already know we're going to learn so much.
Oh, we're going to learn so much from you guys. I'm excited for this.
Me too.
I don't know everything about bullying, hence our fucking question marks right now. But if I could give it maybe a short answer or a quick answer, I do feel like maybe the difference could be the intention behind it.
Right. Like I said, the benefit of the humiliation of the other person.
Perfect. Perfect way to put it. Like, what was it? Last episode, the episode before, we talked about how we played a prank on our roommate. She came home. We played spooky music and we hid and we jumped out.
And we all laughed about it.
Yes.
10 minutes later.
It's like, that was fully a prank.
Yeah.
And we laughed and she still watches the video and cracks up and like, that was full fine. But if we did that to the girl we invited to the sleepover just to make fun of her face, then that action might be the same on paper, but the intention is completely different.
Right.
That we took a video of it for us. You didn't see us posting it online being like, "Haha, I got you." Did it, because then that could be a sense of like, okay, you're exploiting this, like you putting me through something. I don't, you can spiral from that.
It's not always black and white like this. We know.
No,
it's,
you're right.
It's, and they're, when we say a fine line, it's a very, very fine line differentiating between a prank and being bullied. But
and it's per situation and everything for sure. You know, kind of back to what you were talking about with your cousin and stuff. Another fairly new form of bullying that the human brain is not used to is this cyber bullying.
Oh my God.
You have a full new window between it, a middleman, people hiding behind the keyboard. That's wild to me. And I've seen several, and I've had several conversations with a lot of you guys about people bullying you and you're asking me what to do. And I've even been like, holy shit, these people are ruthless.
It's a whole nother level.
The confidence people get behind a keyboard, it's disgusting. And it makes me resent social media a lot because I get bullied all the time too. Mm-hmm. And this is not a pity party at all. The reason I'm doing this is so we can all come together, relate and
understand and that
uplift each other and try to like
everyone, no matter how big or small their platform is or their presence is, I'd rather say on social media, they see everything.
Oh, I see everything, you guys.
So it's, and the thing is like, trying to put logic to what they're doing, typing something out mean about someone's physical appearance on social media and then walking away from computer, you're so disconnected from it and you're letting out your aggression on the internet that you think's not going to have a lasting impression, but like I just said, everyone sees it. And those do have lasting impressions because it stays there forever.
I was gonna say, yeah, if anything, it's more of a lasting impression because it's not a word that fades with your breath. It's
it's
put in words. Now this is a courtroom, you know. Right. You put it in words, you put it in writing. This is a contract. You have signed and pressed sent to these words that now you're going to own them. No, you're not, because you said it behind a keyboard. And the second, and I've even called out people, and the second I do, they're like, oh my God, I love you.
I'm so sorry. I didn't think you'd respond. What?
Words are spells. Why do you think it's called spelling, you guys? Words are spells. And if you cast them on people, it hurts them. Words are spells. And so many people think they're harmless, but they're not. And back to the commenting on physical appearance, that is not a fine line. That is a thick line. That is a million miles thick. And that is where I'm going to draw the line right now on this podcast. Moving forward, you cannot comment on people's physical appearances. Straight up, you cannot.
They in did any not context, choose it. In any context. Oh, not zero. To your friend, not to...
Nope. Not to their face. No, nothing. Shut up. Because they can't change it. And you are creating... You're either creating an insecurity for them
you're feeding their insecurity.
I have developed so many fucking insecurities from things that people have pointed out about my face and the way my face moves when I talk that I never noticed up until the past few years. And I'm like, I'm over here considering fucking filler and shit. No hate to that. But like, you know, I never wanted that.
No,
it's not like something I've had an insecurity all forever. And now that I have an opportunity to change it, I'm going to. No. I do have those insecurities, don't get me wrong. But the ones that I'm talking about now that are new, I'm like, banging my forehead. Like, no, don't let them convince you of this insecurity that
you never had in the first place.
You never had. Again, I'm not trying to make this me, but I can only speak on my specific things and hope that you guys are relating to it too. And again, we will talk about all of your guys's on Thursday once you guys send them in and stuff. But, yeah, I know that shit's fucked up. And cyber stuff, I know a lot of people cyber bully people that they know in real life, and a lot of people cyber bully people that they don't know. And that's a whole other thing, is if you're being cyber bullied by somebody who doesn't know you, take my words and please just try to repeat them, that like, they don't know you. Like I just said, they don't know you, and they only see what you put out. They don't know your character to the core. They don't know your morals, how your best friends do. They don't know you. So these assumptions and these words that they're putting towards your character are kind of out of thin air.
Mm-hmm.
Not kind of, they truly are. They're out of thin air. They're only basing it off the post you did that day with you against a white wall. They don't know anything about your surroundings. They don't know what you did that morning they just don't know.
They don't know anything about you. And it's like we said before, it's a reflection of them, and it's mm-hmm. they're reflecting their hurt and their pain.
And I didn't fully understand that, that statement of the whole, they're projecting shit on you
mm-hmm.
until I have caught myself doing it. Like, you know, I've said nasty shit to my sister. Mm-hmm. We'll bring it into like I can't think of a specific thing, but like the second you realize, like next time you do something mean to somebody, because we're not all saints.
No,
we're not. The next time you do something mean to somebody, I know if you're a good person out here listening, you walk away feeling shitty about it.
Yeah.
So when you're in the shower and you're thinking about, oh, I feel really shitty that I did that, try and remember this episode. Try and remember, did I do that out of an insecurity? And try to pinpoint that insecurity. And then try to work on it.
And apologize.
And then apologize, yes. Oh, apology, please.
Because just as strong as these hurtful words are, an apology is just as strong.
Yep.
If not stronger.
Yep.
Because it does show that you feel remorse. You acknowledge the impact that you had on this person.
Yeah.
With something that you thought was small that you did, but... You saying sorry is just as big.
Uh-huh. I think that's when it clicked for me, where I was like, oh shit, I'm doing the thing that every adult has always told me that people are doing when they're mean to you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing it because I'm sad right now and I'm upset with myself, or, you know, whatever. that goes into a whole other self-love episode, which we will definitely do. Yeah. That's an ever-going topic, as this one is too. But so you just said your first bullying thing. One of my first. I don't know if it's my first because I have no sense of memory, as you guys
one
know.
One that lasted
and one that I'm actually currently working on in therapy. I've told you guys I'm in therapy, but I haven't said what type. I'm in EMDR. Look it up. I'm not going to fully explain it right now, but it's a specific type of therapy that is helping me through specific memories or feelings that, you know, I'm kind of learning how to rewire my brain with different sensory exercises to help fix, not, that sounds so scary, help me kind of feel better about the emotions that lie with each of these memories. I hope that made sense. So the one that I'm currently working on was a memory that came up during a kind of a reflection session I was doing with her. We were going through traumatic things that have happened to me, and we got down to this one, and after I told her the whole thing that I'm about to tell you guys, I was like, whoa, why did I just bring that up? Because when you write it on paper, it's kind of goofy, you mm-hmm. know, it's kind of even like the gum thing, you know, yeah. like on paper, it's kind of like that bothered you. Come on. It was gum. But no, I mean, it's
everything lasts.
This happened over 15 years. Oh, my God. Yeah. Almost 20 years ago. No. Yeah. OK, 15, whatever. And it's still, I'm talking about it present day with my therapist. So this memory was, it was my first day of cheer practice. I think it was like 8 or 9, and first day of cheer practice, if you know, you know, you, your team is kind of getting set of like, you're being put in your stunt groups. Your stunt groups, if you guys aren't cheerleaders, it's the people that get thrown up in the air. There's people underneath you that help you do it. So our coach was putting us in these stunt groups, and I was put as a flyer. And I was like, fuck yeah. Like, okay, sure, I'll try. I didn't even know what that meant. She was like, you're going to go up in the air. I was like, okay, cool. And that practice, I went up, of course, I fell. I was new. It was fun. They were playing, switching people in and out, seeing who worked well with who. I'm leaving the, you know, packing up to leave the practice. And this one of my like new teammates comes up to me and is like, hey, I forget her exact wording. I'm sure it'll come to me the more we work on the memory, but pretty much telling me like I need to tell the coach that I don't want to be a flyer because she's the flyer. And she cheered last year, and this was her same coach, and her coach knows that she flies. So I need to tell her that I don't want to, you know, I don't, maybe because I was taking her spot. I don't really remember. So I was like, okay. You know, I remember this being one of the first times I'd ever felt timid. Mm-hmm. I wasn't a timid kid. You know this, Alex. Like no. I was very, like, very much how I am now. Like, hi, I'm Kristen. And I felt myself timid, and you know, I walk away, tail between the legs, kind of just like, what the hell just happened? And I get in the car and I told my mom, and she was just like, well, like, do you want to fly? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I started convincing myself I didn't already. It only been like 10 minutes since it happened. I was like, no, I mean, I guess not. Like, I don't really care, because I didn't know what the difference, and I didn't know where it was going to put me later or anything like that. And next day, or I don't know if it was the next day, but I go up to the coach and I told her, I said, I don't want to fly. She was like, you don't? Like, why? And I was just like, I don't. And she was just like, okay. Like, I can tell she kind of was like
confused.
Yeah. I think I might have told her later in life. I don't quite remember. Again, with this EMDR therapy, you
bits and pieces.
They come back. It's almost time traveling for me. I've only had 2 sessions with a specific memory, but my body starts responding. I don't know if I told you this, Alex, but like my last session with it, my back started tensing up in the same spot it used to when I would base, because flash forward, guys, the rest of my cheer career, I was a base, meaning on the bottom, because kind of where you start as a kid in cheer, you kind of are just destined the rest of your cheer career, because that's what you condition yourself to do. So it's kind of harder to move around afterwards. So I was a base after that, and I got really bad back problems, and I have lasting back problems now and crazy scoliosis, and sounds super goofy, right? Sounds like this simple thing. But as I worked through the memory with my therapist, we realized, and it's crazy how you tangent in therapy so unintentionally, we start tangenting into how it's affected my work ethic till this day. Meaning I have this very common need to prove people things. Mm-hmm. It's a very common need, but we all get it from a different thing in life. But it's a very common kind of end characteristic. And it's not a bad thing, but your intention behind it is where it can become a bad thing and a toxic thing and a disingenuine thing, which I'm not saying I'm not genuine in my work and my want to prove things to people, but it and this might not be the one memory that attributes to this thing I do now, but I did find myself tying to it in this session. I was like, holy shit. Like, 'cause after that, as I got older, I started kind of just being like, damn, I could have had a full ass different outcome. I would have loved to be a flyer because it was fun. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean,
you cheered for what, 10 years?
Oh, I did. I cheered for 18,
yeah, about like 8 years.
No, 12. I started in 2006 and ended in, oh no. Yeah. I don't know. Yes. I cheered for a long time. Throughout those trickling years, I was like, damn, this all could have been different. This mm-hmm. all could have been so different. Bummer because I let somebody else change my destiny.
Yeah. And it's that butterfly effect. Like all yes. these things that we're saying are feel small in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
They do lead to bigger things when we're older.
Yes. Completely. And it even changed a little bit of my relationship with this person. I guess I should say now, this person I'm talking about is actually one of my very, very close best friends today. And we have a great relationship. But yeah, I think we can all agree, like, not all agree, but I'm sure some of you can relate to that, like, one person that you kind of had a thing with when you were younger. I have to say one of the best things I ever did was squashing it.
Yeah.
And looking at it as adults now and just squashing it. I think that brings relief to both sides, that will bring relief to you taking it so personal, and that will hopefully bring relief to them to be a better person and, you know, not do it again and this, that, and the other thing. But that was definitely one of my first that I can remember of being bullied into something, for sure. Another corner of bullying, I guess this one's a little more lighthearted, but like the phrase we all hear, if they're mean to you, they like you.
Oh God.
I remember a boy doing something really mean to one of my girlfriends and her still being like, oh my God, he likes me. And I was like, yo, what? No, he don't. So
I remember in, I think it was fifth grade, I was walking, it was like recess, it was our 10 minute recess, and I was walking around and I was wearing maybe it was PE because I was in basketball shorts,
mm-hmm.
and I got pantsed.
Oh,
and
shit.
Everyone saw, because it was recess, everyone was out in the courtyard or whatever, and I got pantsed.
Pants is when somebody like pulls down your pants. Literally, and just like runs away. Like,
and
a
I'm
quick,
10
like,
and I'm ugh. Fucking humiliated.
Mm-hmm.
And that we went to the principal's office and there was this like whole big thing, and his mom had to call my mom later. And I remember it was a great phone call. Like there wasn't like heat or nothing. And I remember my mom got off the phone and she was like, she said, boys will be boys. And, and you know, it could mean that he has a crush on you and wow. blah, blah, blah. And then I remember thinking like,
you kind of accepted what? It. No
yeah.
way. Like, okay.
Like, all right. But what if you like someone, why would you want them to feel the way I did that day
yes.
at recess?
Yep.
And I remember thinking like, I would never do this to someone that I wanted in my life.
Yeah. it's such a no-brainer now, of course, but an adolescent brain. Yes.
But you learn to accept it. And yes. then you go through life thinking like, oh, he just did something mean to mm-hmm. me. Like maybe there's a chance that he likes me.
Yes. It has become this narrative of just like acceptance.
Yeah.
It, like you said earlier, the butterfly effect thing, mm-hmm. it just, it gets drilled into you. It's repetition. It's it's a spell. Like I said, it's all a spell that just keeps getting casted, and you learn to believe it. You're conditioned to believe it because he's just being a boy.
Yeah.
Boys are being boys. Come on. Okay. My son will never.
Never.
I'll tell you that.
Never. I'll tell you that.
I feel like that boys will be boys thing definitely is getting a little more squashed with the current generation, which I fuck with. That's amazing. Yeah. And, you know, we know who this guy is now, and he's a great guy.
Yeah.
And that's the difference that negative actions on your part can do. Either you realize they're bad and you change. Because mm-hmm. like I said earlier, like, we're not all saints. We've all bullied. But the second you can acknowledge, oh, shit, that wasn't me. That was out of character. And that did not make the person feel good. And you change.
Well, and people can redeem themselves.
Of course. Absolutely. Yeah. I always believe in second chances. Are you kidding? I think everybody deserves it. Because as we say, it's a reflection of them. So if that reflection changes, they, you know, it's safe to say, like, you know, they're changing. They're evolving.
Right.
So, yeah, you know, you're totally right. But I think, you know, I'm not here to put down everybody who's ever done a bullying thing, but just think about how you've changed from it. And if you've changed from it, do you still do it? If so, I hope you take something from this episode.
Yeah. I think a big topic that we can kind of talk about is karma.
And yes,
what goes around comes around, baby. And if if you're a big believer in karma, which I am a huge believer in karma, it does kind of, it's something that you think about when you know you might be saying something hurtful or about to do something a little snaky, like, wait a minute, I don't want this to ever happen to me, which I believe that in the universe, whatever you put out there, it does come around and it does come back to you. So think about that the next time you're about to do something that you might not be proud of, because we live in a world where that could end up happening to you because you did put it out there.
That's completely correct. I think another translation of karma is treat people how you want to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
That statement is backed up with karma. That's putting a pretty bow, meaning treat them how you want to be treated, because if you don't, you're going to be treated like that too.
Karma's a bitch. Because it'll come back tenfold.
It does. And I've always believed that. I remember learning what karma meant, weirdly enough. I remember like where I was sitting, my mom teaching me about karma. And I remember kind of being like, huh? And then I remember quickly learning like, oh, that's how that works. And I'm sure there's so many different theories of how karma works, but it's because you're doing it as a reflection of yourself. So you kind of already got the instant karma. Mm-hmm. You know, it's weird that, and that can happen in the way you treat people, or it can happen in you, rear-ending somebody in a, like, just like love tapping their bumper in a parking lot and not telling them you're going to get a parking ticket later.
Yeah.
I bet you so many of you guys were like, oh my God, she just said an exact thing that's happened to me before, because karma's a bitch and it's already written in the stars. You're laughing because you have a karma story.
I have a karma story, and you guys, I'm not proud of it.
Oh my God, nobody's judging you.
I'm not happy with what I've done in my past.
We all do stupid shit.
We were really-
And you grew from it.
Oh my God.
100%.
Lesson learned, homies. Yes. Okay. we were at a huge party in LA way before COVID.
Oh yeah, wait, guys.
This is like, when I first moved here.
Damn near like 2 years ago.
Right. Exactly 2 years ago, actually.
Aww.
We were at a party, a house party, and someone had left like a really cute fanny pack in the bathroom, and I grabbed it and I was like, oh, this is hella cute.
We were like fucked up.
We were fucked up. I grabbed it and I was like, oh, this is hella cute. And I kind of put it on and I was like, eh, mine.
Like, and we just like, we partied just, on, and then we later that night we left and
kind of forgot about it, but kind of like, oh, I came up on this like dope fanny pack that someone forgot.
Yep.
The next morning, we're driving to... We're
less than 12 hours later.
Literally less than 12 hours later, we're driving, and I can remember the feeling.
Oh, me too.
We're driving. And,
oh, my God. Go on, sorry.
And a squirrel runs out into the middle of the street, and I like kind of brake, but we're in a little bit of like street traffic, so I can't brake too hard, and I try to swerve a little bit, but the squirrel starts to swerve with me. and I hit the squirrel and I killed the squirrel. And I had to pull over. I broke down, immediately started bawling, looked at Kristen and I was like, it's because I took the bag.
Yeah. And I was like, yep. It is, dude. And we sat and we cried for, we literally had to pull aside the road and we cried for a little bit. We're like, yep. Holy fuck. Like,
this was my, this was my instant karma. And it was a pit feeling in my stomach.
And then do you remember, because we found like something with her name in it and we tried to look her up to find her because we wanted to give the bag back.
Yeah.
We couldn't find her though, like for the life of us. I remember it being like kind of a really generic name, like
Brittany Smith.
Like right. It was something, we were like, fuck.
There's no way.
I think it was Lauren. I remember it being Lauren for some reason. But yeah, we were like,
we tried to redeem ourselves. We couldn't. But yeah.
But I mean, well, you know, we laugh at it now, but that was real karma. That was real fucking karma.
That's always like my, whenever I'm about to say mean words to my mom or something, I'm like, okay, karma. This has happened to me before. I don't want to hit any more squirrels.
Right. Some light bulb just went off for me when you said like about to say mean words to my mom or something. Because the first thing that popped in my head is another kind of filter that I hope goes through your narrative before you open your mouth is, life is so short and I love this person and I don't want to say these mean things to them.
And these be the last words.
Yep.
God forbid.
Because that shit happens. I know somebody who got in a really, really bad fight with their dad. And unfortunately, later that night, he passed away. And those were her last words to him.
Ugh.
And it eats her up till this day. Ever since she told me that, I mean, more than ever, I've just been like, holy fuck. Like, I can't leave people with negativity. Even after a fight, like, even in like relationships, after a fight, I'd always be like, okay, I can't go to bed mad because what if you die in your sleep? Like, it's almost something that kind of consumes me. I'm like, my last words with people cannot be bad.
Right.
Every time me, Leanna, or Alex leave the house, we say love you.
Every time.
You know.
Hang up the phone.
It's everything. Always love you. Love you no matter what. Even if you're calling for one question, you're like, okay, cool. Thanks. Love you. Bye. Mm-hmm. It's quick and it means the world every time you guys say it to me.
It does.
Even when it's love you. Bye. Like, I'm like,
everything's good.
Exactly. Like, it's because at the end of the day, like, that's all we got.
Yep.
So when you're about to open your mouth or do an action that's negative.
Words of love.
This is all temporary and make it the best you can because it's gone pretty quick. So I've told several people like karma will come around. And I've had a lot of people push back and be like, okay, it's been like 5 years and I've never seen them ever get karma. You don't know that, guys. Mm-mm. You might not like, it might not be something obvious that you'll see them kind of, for lack of a better word, suffer through later. Karma's also internal.
Oh yeah.
Karma can be like, they'll just never be happy in the inside, or
it's a big one.
Yes, I know. But
or
I'm
they
saying,
got a pimple the next day.
Right.
And it's all relative.
Exactly. It's completely all relative. That's another thing I want to put out there because I know a lot of people that don't believe in karma because it's not like
this big like detrimental life event.
No, it's not always that. It could be the slightest inconvenience. Mm-hmm. Think about the times where you're like, you're late for an appointment. You can't get a fucking parking spot.
Yep.
Might be an LA thing. I know a lot of places don't struggle with parking like we do.
Right.
But
it also could
so
have been
simple.
Because like you were snarky at your Starbucks barista the day before.
Yep. And karma's also not everything. There's also days where you just get unfortunate stuff. And I don't want people to feel like they have to read into every unfortunate thing that happens to them. Because sometimes shitty shit just happens.
Yeah.
It just fucking happens and it sucks.
But it is a narrative to give yourself to kind of think what impact am I having on other people and how could it possibly happen to me?
Yeah.
And it makes you think a little bit more and harder about what you do.
Mm-hmm.
I think another big role that people can take part in, or I wish people would take part in more, is when you see your best friend spitting out words of hate and bullying, take it as your job to step in and say, dude, that ain't cool. Mm-hmm. Like, you saying this right now, like, you seem like the funny person who's, you know, making fun of this helpless person who isn't able to back themselves up. You be that person to
defend
them.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And we've both been that for each other. We've been that for other people. But then don't you feel like sometimes it gets to a point where you're like, I can't do this every time.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm like,
you are,
dude, like you need to dig within. Yeah. You got to do some work now. Cause it does get exhausting. You never want to be the naggy friend or anything like that. But like, it does get exhausting when you have to defend other people. Yes.
All the time.
Yes. It sucks. It's so shitty. We don't have an answer for that one, but I'm sure you guys can still relate.
But try to be that person who's able to stand up for others.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why this just pops in my head, but back to like the way beginning of this episode when we were talking about the kind of clicks of social media now, don't you feel like it's because like people identify with like aesthetics now?
Yeah. And I was like, going to literally say it's like, it's damn near an algorithm now.
Yeah.
Everything you see on your For You page and on your Explore page on Instagram, it's all tailored to what you like and what social media thinks you want to see. And if that's all you see, that's all you think is cool.
That's all you're fed. You are what you eat.
Right.
You literally are what you eat. And that's all you're fed. And that's cool. And I see that on a monetization level, you know, more likes and more engagement. Sure.
But it's detrimental to the human brain when you're trying to befriend someone who's doing something different than you.
Yes. Because it's creating a bigger divide. Mm-hmm. As much as I do feel social media brings people together, there's so many divisions that also just
and it
draw people apart.
You can argue that it kind of only brings like people together.
Yes. But I mean, that's like what I meant by that. But I'm also saying like there's good and bad about that.
Right.
Is more what I meant. Like,
right.
Think about all the people that have found their crowd on social media.
Yeah.
I know people who have literally become lifelong best friends from
gaming.
Or going to the same meetup.
Yep.
Or, you know, something like that. And that's beautiful. And I fuck with that. That's so sick. So sick. Like I have friends in other countries because of how I've met them through like things through the internet. But then the other part is like how people are closed off to bring it back to the word aesthetics. You're closed off to embracing other aesthetics.
Yeah.
It's
other parts and ways of life that you have no idea about.
I think being open-minded in every way.
Embracing diversity.
Yes. I think if you can try and be open-minded in every step of your life, things are a lot simpler. Things feel better. And things go a lot smoother.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just a hair more open-minded. I'm not over here saying you need to drop all of your wants and needs and morals, because I think that's what makes you you. But I think if you could just, you know, say you're in an argument with somebody about something controversial between the two of you, you each have opposite opinions about. If you can have like a good argument about it and still like learn from each other, that's dope. Fuck yeah. You're both getting brain food.
Yep.
But if you're just like, rah, no, my side's better, rah, rah, not even trying to maybe
understand,
even just hear a little bit. And yeah, understand. A lot of people think, oh, but if like understand means agree. No. Two different words. Understanding somebody is open-mindedness. Agreeing is obvious. It's agreeing.
Yeah.
Two different words. And
it's a lot easier to understand someone.
Yes. So we just took a little pause to just like really make sure we're talking about everything we can think of regarding this whole bullying topic. It's like I said, it's a big topic. It's an episode that we can do a million times and still not touch everything. But something that quite obviously jumped out to us that we did want to cover is where you kind of draw the line in bullying of
if you're being bullied.
If you're being bullied to a point where you need to start bringing in people, if you start feeling in danger, whether that's physical danger or whatever, or if you start
your own emotional and mental health is being
negatively affected, to where trigger warning if you're contemplating suicide, if you're getting to that point where you are starting, you know, however, no matter how you got there, whether it's you're believing what they're saying so much or whatever, there does come a time where you need to bring in somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Now this has become,
it's detrimental to your life.
Yes. And it is time to bring in somebody. And I know there are a lot of people who don't have that somebody. And that's why I think it's amazing we have these hotlines now, which, by the way, we will leave several that we can find in the little description box right below. Or is it below? I'm so used to saying like YouTube, like down and below the description box of this episode. It will be accessible. We'll also put it on like our stories and stuff. And
there is support out there for you.
Yes, there is so much support, you guys. So we feel stupid not saying this because we know that that is a very, very big part of bullying, because it does get that bad.
And people have limits.
People, yeah. You might not think that what you're doing is ever going to hurt them to that point.
But you never know.
You don't know what they have going on at home. What they have going on with other bulliers that might be bullying them. Like, you might just be one of several. And we have breaking points. We're only human. We have breaking points. And you have to remember that as a victim or a bullier. Never be afraid to ask for help. I think this is a very big stigma, the right word, that there's like a stigma behind asking for help. You're weak, or, oh my gosh, like you're
loss
so
pride.
You're dramatic. That's a big one. You're so dramatic. That's not dramatic, you guys. Asking
your
for
life
help
is so much more valuable than that tiny ounce of feeling dramatic.
Yep.
I promise you.
And it's the inaccurate feeling of dramatic. That's not dramatic. No. Asking for help. Help is what makes humans coexist.
Yeah.
Help is everything. Think about how much help you get day to day. Even you're the grocery store. The people literally ringing your groceries are helping you close a transaction so you can get food on your table. Mm-hmm. Help is everything. So
we cannot live in this world alone.
Yep. We all need each other. So asking for help is one of the best things you will ever do. And I hope you do it a million times. I do it every day. Getting help from people is everything. So asking for help. And I bring this up because if you're being bullied, don't be afraid to ask for help. And if you are the bully, I think you should still ask for help too, because we've made the point in this episode.
It's internal.
It's internal. And it is. And that's not me trying to be mean or anything, because like I said, I've felt it too. It is internal. And I think if down to your core, you know what you're doing is wrong and it doesn't feel good, that next step is maybe to change.
Getting help.
And not the only, but at least one of the things that's helping me change as a human is I started therapy. Mm-hmm. And that's the beginning of change. So go therapy. Not even just therapy, just talking to somebody, even a homie, like I said, a hotline, just talking to a human. People can relate to you more than you know. You are not alone in anything. Another point is, when you're about to say something rude to somebody, yes, you need to think like, okay, I don't know what they have going on at home. You never realize how much you can affect somebody with a bad word or a rude word or whatever. I always try to kind of flip that. Like when somebody does something mean to me, I'm like, I'm sending them love and like just love energy, because I know
they need it right
they
now.
They need it. Because they might have something going on at home too. Mm-hmm. I think that is such a big thing. Especially in like children, you know, the kids that act out in class and stuff, not even talking about bullying anymore. Like the kids that just like act out or, you know, talk back a lot, like they usually have something going on at home. Mm-hmm. And it's so sad. I think this is where we're going to wrap up the episode. Again, we can talk about this a million times more. And if you guys want us to, we can even do a full other part two of this topic. I think we can go on forever. I'm really excited for Thursday's episode. I'm really excited to hear your guys's
experiences.
Yep. On both ends.
Answer some questions. We're here to help this time.
Yeah, we're always here to help. And help us too, because I know we missed a lot of points. I can't stress that enough. So definitely drop any points that you feel like people should know, or any things that you kind of live by that have helped you get through a bullying situation that you can pass on to a peer. Even one person, I think that'd be amazing. So send in all your entries to our Twitter. It's @AdvicePodcast. You could just DM us, tweet us, whatever. And that will go up on Thursday. Again, everything in the description, go read it. We'll go put numbers to hotlines and stuff. I think even if you just throw that number in your contact list,
if it's not going to help you, it's going to help someone else.
Yep. Even like if you, this is quite a stretch. You don't have internet connection, so you can't Google it, but you need to give somebody the number. It's already in your contacts. Mm-hmm. I think putting these hotlines in contacts can save a life, yours or the next person's, whatever. So throw it in your contact list. We will do the same. That's everything like that's linked down below, or I'm so used to YouTube, written in the description.
Send us any of your karma stories that you want to share too.
Yeah. I think the more that we can prove that karma is real, right, the better. Because I know there's still a lot of people that still don't believe in it. Karma stories are always just kind of crazy to hear too. Yeah. You're always like, whoa. Like it is crazy how it's such a step one, step two process.
Yep. It's kind of like a light switch sometimes.
Yeah, really. It is. This episode felt really good. We were really excited to go deep this week. We haven't been deep in a while and it feels good. It makes me really like, oh, this is why we started the podcast, because this shit feels so fucking good and we can even help one person. So we hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Happy belated Thanksgiving. Happy December. Happy Vlogmas. Happy Monday or whatever day you're listening. We love you guys so much and stand your ground. You're amazing. You are worth every moment, every breath. And we love you.
We love you. And your words matter.
Words are spells. Just saying that. God, I believe that so much.
Oh yeah. Okay.
love you guys so much. We'll talk to you on Thursday.
Bye.
I loved that.
That was so good.